Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, yesterday I went to the Flowood Nature Park for a walk, and I often go there to ponder and pray. I usually turn right by the pavilions and skirt the pond on the east side walkway, circle back through the trees. But yesterday, I decided to go backwards. I turned left at the pavilions and went on the west side of the pond. I've walked that path dozens of times. And yet this time it was different. I saw things that I'd never seen before. A little kudzu vine crawling up one particular pine. Okay, there's lots of kudzu vine. But on this particular pine, I saw white broken rocks funneling their way to a small black culvert that I had never seen before because of the angle of the path. And I saw strange trees that I had never noticed before. One series of trees up to the edge of the woods back where near where it breaks by the power lines. There is a tree that grows almost like a kind of U shape out of the ground, almost like a rearing horse without front legs. And right beside it is a forked tree that looks something like a slingshot. And then just beyond them are two smaller trees completely bent over. And of course, my mind immediately constructs a story about a perfectly aimed pebble that scares the horse rearing and then charges through the undergrowth and flattens the other trees. But seeing things a new way, even seeing people a new way, because usually if I go right, I see people's backs, but now I'm seeing people's faces as they are coming towards me. All of this from walking the backwards way and seeing a place I know from a different perspective. Sometimes people will ask, why do we have four Gospels rather than just one? If Mark was written first, why did someone like St. Luke, for example, put pen to parchment and produce another telling of the story of Jesus? Everybody knew the story of Jesus already. Why bother? Luke himself admits in the first chapter of his gospel that before he had written anything down, many others had undertaken to compile a narrative of the things which have been accomplished. So why? Why did the Holy Spirit press the good doctor to spin the tale again? Why not just a single account? Well, God knows that as we walk the trail of the story of Jesus, reading the story again and again and again, we get used to seeing Jesus a certain way. We always turn right at the pavilion. We always skirt the east side of the pond on the walkway. We get used to seeing Jesus from one direction, one perspective. Look, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaking in Matthew's gospel. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Look, Jesus in Matthew's gospel. Christmas morning, the wealthy wise men all bowing around him, chasing a star to only find him there finally in Mary's arms. We've walked this trail dozens of times. We've walked it so much that sometimes we miss things that are right there. And so this evening, God bumps us and we go left at the pavilion to walk the path the backwards way, starting on the west side of the pond, starting with Luke's gospel. And as we walk the story of Jesus backward with St. Luke, we see things about Jesus that we never noticed before. bit of scrawny kudzu vine crawling up a pine, some broken white stones funneling towards a black culvert. Instead of the Sermon on the Mount, there's the Sermon on the Plain. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. No longer poor in spirit or hungry for righteousness, St. Luke simply tells us of Jesus blessing those who are destitute, those who are hungry in belly. Instead of rich wise men kneeling with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh around Jesus on Mary's lap, St. Luke tells of poor shepherds kneeling before a manger in their grubby robes with an old angel song on their lips. God inspires St. Luke to write so that we can walk backwards through the life of Jesus, so that we can see the tree rearing up like a Mustang and laugh at the slingshot pine next to it. You see, when we walk the Jesus life the backwards way with St. Luke, we see Jesus caring for people that no one else cares for. For example, in first century Palestine, Samaritans were the half-breeds. They were despised, hated. And only Luke recounts the story of the Good Samaritan. Likewise, of course, in the ancient world, women were second-class citizens. And yet when we walk the backwards way through Luke's gospel, we see Jesus treating women as equals again and again and again. Only Luke tells us the story of Jesus letting Mary sit at his feet as a rabbinical student. Women were not allowed to learn Torah. They should hang out in the kitchen. And yet Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. Only Luke tells us of the unimportant teenage Mary's yes to God, the yes upon which our whole salvation turned. Only Luke then tells of Mary's prophetic song, a song about God working things backwards. The last first and the first last. We sing it every evening in evening prayer. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. Backwards. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath magnified me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him throughout all generations. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seat, and hath exalted the humble and meek. Backwards. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. Backwards. He, remembering his mercy, hath holpen his servant Israel, as he promised to our forefathers, Abraham and his seed forever. God gives us St. Luke's gospel so that we can see Jesus living and teaching the backwards life. Sit down sometime and read through Luke's gospel in one sitting, if you can. Work your way backwards. Turn left at the pavilion. Don't go to Matthew or Mark or John. Go to Luke. It'll take you an hour or two. And as you read, note all of the times that Jesus is involved with people who are despised, rejected, second class. Notice how many stories he tells about rich fools in Luke's gospel, and poor people, about people concerned with money, debtors, about poor people and those who have nothing in this life. In fact, you can actually go online and Google the unique material in Luke's gospel, and you will be amazed at how many of the pieces that Luke adds that are specific to Jesus having mercy upon the least. Jesus, concerned with helping hurting and hungry people. And so, as only St. Luke tells it, Jesus gets up to preach in Nazareth, and he picks Isaiah 61 as his text. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the Jubilee year. Today, says Jesus, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. God gives us St. Luke's gospel to show us a different side of Jesus. Jesus not only cares about our spiritual needs, which he cares about very much, but he also cares about our physical needs, which of course makes sense, not only in regards to Jesus, but in regards to St. Luke, because Luke is a doctor who cares for those who suffer. And so his ear is attuned to the stories of one who heals the sick and cares for the lame and cares for those who no one else cares about. Sisters and brothers, this is why God gives us St. Luke, and this is why he gives us St. Luke's gospel, to bump us to walk the path of Jesus' life backwards once in a while, and to see it from another angle, to catch sight of things we never quite saw before. Jesus, the one who cares for the neglected. Jesus, the one who proclaims good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.